Let us join for the Sufi invocation. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Hazaradanai Khan teaches us, our thoughts have prepared us for the happiness or unhappiness we experience. Our thoughts have prepared us for the happiness or unhappiness that we experience. What's that mean? It's all up here, isn't it? So what do we do to help ourselves? Any illuminating answers?
Well, you listen to voices within yourself. And the voices say, you need to find guidance, and you need to find these people who are Sufis. You go and you do that.
So the voices can guide you.
Yes.
Those unhappy voices.
Even happy voices, well, voices of peace that go through all the static.
Yeah.
Because if you get beyond that, you can get to that point and say, oh, okay, guide me.
Raheem?
I think another piece is acceptance. It's cold out, it's warm out, it's okay, I can deal with it. I'm with people who I enjoy, I'm with people who I don't enjoy, that's okay, I can deal with that too.
Yeah, well, I think the most reassuring part of it is if you just wait long enough, it will change, right? And so that's the nature of impermanence, which gives us the greatest courage to realize that things do change. And I think sometimes we get in a place where we think that's the port where we're, you know, the port of where we've rested the boat or the ship and we're going to stay there forever. But surely when we reflect on our own lives, we realize it all does change if we don't get so fixated on it, you know, and keep playing it over and over again. So let's just turn within for a few moments and think about that, about how our thoughts can create or maybe even decreate our happiness and our happiness and our unhappiness. And I'm wondering if we couldn't take it up as a task just during this camp, just to try as an experiment. What happens when something arises that maybe makes us feel unhappy or agitated or uncomfortable? Just changing the view, seeking the benefit of that. We were talking earlier this morning in a group about seeking to know that which transpires behind which appears. And a dear friend of mine some years ago when I was dealing with a challenge in my own life, she said, well, what are you trying to learn from that? You know, what's the divine impulse that is allowing that to arise so that you might learn something? Good question. In some ways, it really is all about you. So I'm reading from The Sufi Message, Volume Number 7. In an Eastern Rose Garden. Stilling the mind, stilling first the body. So to make ourselves still, it's so important. And that we know how to do that appropriately. Murshid might also call that, and when I speak of Murshid Hazaratanai Khan, he talks about mystic relaxation, being able to be agile enough that you can turn within, sort of recharge the battery, and then come forward again. That there's that undulating that can happen as we become more and more skillful. And these retreats give us an opportunity to go deeper into that and taste it a little bit, so we know that touchstone of where we need to find ourselves, so we don't have accidents or mishaps in our lives that force us to be still, right? And on the other hand, those can be a blessing. My own mom had a little fall off of a step, like this big. Broken hip, two directions. This whole part of her arm had to be replaced. It was a very severe accident. And the whole time she was in the hospital in rehabilitation, it was like, why did this happen? If I just hadn't gone over that step, or if I just hadn't. And I said, Mom, what if that was to prevent you from even a greater mishap? Maybe if you were out in the public, something even more devastating could have happened. And this is divine protection. Could be. So stilling the mind through stilling the body first. Again, the words of Anayat Khan. All our possessions, all that we collect in life, all these things, which we shall have to leave one day, are transitory. Again, the nature of impermanence. I love the Lojong teachings, right? It says, there are just these pithy quotes in Tibetan Buddhism of training the mind. And one says, do something different. You have to speak up.
We call it, everything is insecure and extreme.
Yes.
I don't have to worry. I just have to worry.
But this do something different, it is very helpful at a very practical level. If you're in, it's almost like I make the analogy a lot to like training a dog. If it's fiercely involved in something, we have to change that pattern. We have to do something to interrupt it. And the same is true with ourselves. I think if we, one of the things that happens for me, if I find myself in a bit of a slump, beauty, looking at beautiful things, it changes my mind. So I get up and I go to the museum, or I go to a beautiful place that sells statuary. By just shifting my environment and what I'm observing, I can shift my internal environment. So it's very helpful. Do something different, that Lojong teaching. So again, all our possessions, all that we collect in this life, all these things which we shall have to leave one day are transitory. But that which we have created in our thought, in our mind, that lives. A person thinks, someday I should like to build a factory. At the time, he has no money, no knowledge, no capability. But the thought came. Then he thinks of something else. Perhaps years pass, but the thought has been working constantly through 1,000 minds, and 1,000 sources prepare for him that which he once desired. If we look back to all we thought at different times, we would find that the line of fate or destiny, kismet, as it's called in the East, is formed by our thought. Just think of that, how powerful that is. You know, if we have an impression of success, truly, we may not know the method, but we will become, we can become successful. If we have the, if we feel, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, well, guess what? There's no hope, right? We have to develop that concentration, that line of thought. It's interesting to think about that. The Sufis kind of call, we have a kind of akasha or a dome where all the thoughts are like vibrations and eventually they come back to us. It's another way of saying what Murshid just said here, right? Have you ever had a name given to you? I was thinking Kismet is your inner name. Kismet. Doesn't she look like a Kismet? Could be a Kismet. Take it or leave it. It's beautiful though. So I always think that it's important to emphasize a few lines by Murshid and then emphasize it with a practice. Okay? And so we're going to set up this vibration that will help us develop a greater awareness. But I think, you know, it's important. My Murshida always gave me the practices without giving me the meaning. And then there weren't a lot of texts available. And so I had to do the practice and experience the meaning and report back to her what I experienced. See? Very good way of training a mystic, isn't it? And now we have all kinds of texts available. So I'm going to read from one of those texts. It's called Physicians of the Heart. And we're going to do a practice called Alim, Alim, A-L-I-M, but pronounced A-L-E-E-M, Alim. And this is from Physicians of the Heart again. Al-Alim is the omniscient knowledge of God. The omniscient knowledge of God. Its ultimate meaning is all-inclusive. Al-Alim means the emanation of knowledge that reaches everything without exception. The knowledge that reaches everything without exception. Considering all of its various forms, Al-Alim is mentioned in the Quran more than any other single attribute of God. Isn't that interesting? Not divine knowledge, not worldly knowledge, divine knowledge. What's the divine impulse again? What's the divine intention? What's arising for the learning, for the evolution, for the transformation? Oftentimes this practice will be given by concentrating on the forehead with a five-pointed star that's illuminated. Again, all-inclusive, moving in all directions, okay? So concentrate there. Get your five-pointed star clear in your mind. Again, stilling the mind through stilling the body. And let me give you a little bit of advice. Put your eyes, with eyes closed, put your eyes at that point as if you're looking at the star. Put them up and make them very still. When the eyes are still, the mind becomes still. It's very important. That's why a lot of times in the Buddhist practice, they have you keep your gaze on a certain point. You notice when a person's mind is going very quickly or they're agitated, their eyes are darting about. So the eyes can really help to control the whole mechanism. And the sound in Alim will go a little bit high. We'll kind of do it almost like a singing mantric sound. And we'll begin the wazifa with first ya, and then eventually we'll drop the ya and we'll just whisper Alim. And then for a little bit, we'll just have it silently resounding throughout our system, just the vibration of Alim. The all-inclusive the all knowledgeable one, the one that includes knowledge of all things. Suggest that when you you may feel a brilliance coming from the forehead, pulsing, and at the end you send the vibration there, okay? So yali.
Thank you.
The control of the activity of the mind is called concentration. In the language of the mystics, we call it concentration. The meaning of the word is often not rightly understood. People are apt to think that concentration means only closing the eyes, but one may close one's eyes for hours, and still the thoughts keep coming like a moving picture. People are never at rest, never at peace. Anxiety and sorrow do not disappear just because they close their eyes. If the concentration, it is concentration that does that. Concentration is activity of the mind in a direction desired. Our desire dictates in which way the mind is to be active. The mind acts accordingly to one's wishes. Training the mind. Murshid Hidayat Hazrat Inayat Khan's son talks about, he really is very, actually very fond of concentration practices. And he thinks everything we do can be, if we do it in a mindfulness as a form of concentration, that he talks about putting that sort of harness on the mind, and then he says, then release it and see what happens. Okay, so let's try it. Again, with the five-pointed star, put all your concentration at the center of your forehead with a five-pointed star, standing, radiating in all directions. See its brilliance and maybe emanating from it in 360 degrees, rays of light emanating in every direction. And if you can, imagine that at the end of each infinite ray is yet another star, and it also is radiating in every direction. And let that vision keep continuing, broadening from this singular star, illuminating again and again in all directions, as if this all-inclusiveness keeps moving in ever-widening circles, light upon light. And now begin bringing all those stars in to their source of light, and again into the source of light, and so it's all collapsing and condensing back to its original source, this star at the center of your forehead. Now start to imagine that the star, one by one, one arm or leg, whichever you wish to consider, you're starting to erase that with your mind. Perhaps starting at the bottom two legs. It's like you're taking an eraser and just erasing it, and just a field of openness exists. And you continue to move upwards to the two extending horizontal arms. And you continue up, up, up to the last point of light, the very top of that star, until it completely vanishes. And just rest there. Amen. Any thoughts or experiences that anyone would like to share?
Stars are going out. It was like sparklers. It's a powerful way of that emptiness.
And then when it came back and you started to erase, did anything happen at the end at all for you?
It was just a deep sense of just being.
Yeah. It's kind of a rest. We feel rested. You know? Yeah.
Consciousness without a body.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what. It's a really good practice for that moment when we lose the body. And there we see the real underlying message here in this teaching. Because what will be left will be those thought vibrations that we've created. And that's the reason for repetition of practice. That's why we're given repetition of practice. We set up another vibration again and again and again and again and again and again. Right? And we can replace or transform. In fact, we use the energy of all of that to propel our practice and transform those perhaps thoughts of unhappiness into, we let it become the power that can uplift us in our practice. Yes.
When you talk about the five-pointed star, I right off the bat went to Pythagorean intelligence, which is where the Western ideas of the pentagram come from, because it's extremely ancient. And when we started erasing the five arms, I'm left with this pentagon, and I know that there's all these mathematical relationships that actually are found throughout the cosmos, and actually that's what I felt comfortable with. That's what I was resting in, was just the mathematics of it all. It was a little different, but it was very sweet.
Wonderful.
But I see so much relationship between the ancients and then what Islam has picked up, incorporated within its symbology, but it's just right with it. It's
beautiful that you say that. When you say that, if I may, I'll relate it to an experience. I was at an amazing, really very beautiful mosque when I was in Morocco, and the thing about Islam is it's so wonderful because it does rely on one of the higher truths, which is math, right? And it relies on abstract form to express these very complex concepts. And I remember I was standing at the center near a reflecting pool, and I looked up, and there were it was this balcony area that you could walk around. But from standing where I was, I looked up, and there was a star that you described in the first area, the balcony. Then the star started to break apart and become something else. And it kept transforming till it got back to that. And it was so beautiful because it was like looking at the unfoldment of the cosmos into chaos and then coming back into order again. And, you know, it was all expressed there in these wooden carvings, you know. And unless you know, it just looks like a beautiful decoration. But if you kind of are, you know, in that flow or you understand the code, it's really teaching us such amazing things, you know. And looking at the beautiful mosaics and their complexity, you know, is like expansion, contraction, expansion, contraction, you know, breath. Breathing in, breathing out. You know, it's all there. It's all there.
The angles and the numbers are all transcendental, which means they go out and they never stop. And then you're talking about the cosmos, and you're talking about beauty. Actually, the cosmos is the Greek for beauty. The cosmos, the God Allah is the great hairdresser.
Yeah, comes from that word. That's right.
Cosmology is a study of the beauty of the universe.
Love. Nyakon says, from love we have the desire and the wish to harmonize. And through harmony we create beauty. Love, harmony, and beauty. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. From the Sufi Message, Volume 10, Sufi Poetry, on Farid Adin Attar, who wrote The Conference of the Birds. Do you all know that story? Oh, you're going to enjoy these classes then if you stick with them. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Murshid's commentary, and he says, in point of fact, whatever one makes of oneself, one becomes that. The source of happiness or unhappiness is all in man, woman, himself, herself. When he is unaware of this, he is not able to arrange his life. As he becomes more acquainted with this secret, he gains mastery. The process by which this mastery is attained is the only fulfillment of the purpose of life. The process by which this mastery is attained is the only fulfillment of the purpose of life. It sounds really simple, but listen to what he's saying. I mean, that's the purpose of life. The process by which this mastery is attained is the only fulfillment of the purpose of life. I could concentrate on that the rest of my life.
But you know, what's interesting is not the mastery, it's the process.
That's right. And that's the thing that we have to remember. It's all transitory. It's all impermanent. We are constantly moving towards that one source and goal. And we may be floating on the water every once in a while. There may be something that's bashing us against the head, pieces of wood. We may feel like we're stuck in between something and the shoreline, you know, and we may be diving deep. It takes all those different things. Well, and I think it's a little bit, we were talking about surrender earlier today, and you know, it's a little bit like if you're in the ocean, and most of us have probably swam in the ocean, and if you're struggling against the waves, they really take control of you. But you know, if you just relax and lay back, so it's a little bit like surrendering into the divine arms and knowing that the divine embrace is there. And again, reflection in your own life, there may have been a challenging time where you thought, how am I going to get through this? But then you realize that actually there was a divine purpose in that. There was the divine's hand in that to get you. It was painful because you didn't want to move off that target. But when you got pushed off of it, it actually got you where to the next spot that you were supposed to be, right? And likewise, those beautiful moments, we can't stay there either. If we cling to those are so, it's so painful because the thought of letting it go is just horrible, right? So it's kind of like, well, when they say go with the flow, it's a little bit like that. And I've been working on a project that's been a bit of a challenge. And I keep telling that the person that I'm collaborating with that also my Buddhist teacher, Comtal Rinpoche, says when the obstacles arrive, it is the purification of one's own negative karma. And so if we can look at it as a blessing, as if our karma is being transformed, or perhaps our destiny or fate, whatever you want to call that, but something, some transformation's happening. And if we don't necessarily, although it may feel painful, again, those are thoughts. Those are identifying something in that way. But it's just pure energy, really. It's just pure energy. So again, our thoughts have prepared us for the unhappiness or happiness we experience. I have to look at the time. Is this class is over, isn't it?
Could you hear
us?
It's 3:56.
I think the next class is
10.
Share it. Keep including everything and everyone in it. We'll do it. We'll get you back.
Okay.
We'll get you back. So perhaps as a closing, let's be mindful throughout the day and the evening, morning when we awaken about our thoughts. Let's observe our thoughts without clinging to them. They just are passing over, you know, they're just passing through like clouds over a sky. And to center the concentration that we were doing from our forehead, let's now see that star at the forehead, but let's let it descend down through our palate, touching our tongues, the back of our throat, and residing in our heart. And as you breathe into that heart space, you see the light of the star. And underneath the star, we see a beautiful sliver of a crescent moon. And that crescent moon receives the light of this star, and it's receptive to it because the crescent is upwards. And around this beautiful star that's radiating and the crescent moon that is receptive to the light, we see a beautiful heart shape enclosing them. And extending from this heart are these beautiful wings, full, and the whole vision is ablazing in light. And with each breath, the wings move and the light grows. And you can use this as a touchstone. Let the concentration be there, centered. And as Murshid says, we are often so, we have, the mind is so much busy and often cannot find its rest. And also we are living in a world of changing times is so, such critical things are happening now, and we're coming upon a critical time in our own country with these elections upon us and so forth. And so if you just watch the news for a minute, you see that an anxiety can arise, but there's place to rest in this concentrated mind, and you rest in the breath. You allow the breath to feed this beautiful image, the Sufi symbol. And from there you radiate light upon light in all directions. And you keep your hope and you keep your faith. 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 O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness, teach us thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.